Dennis, and welcome to the second episode of the Jelly-Filled Donut Podcast.
Yep. Woo-woo! Donuts!
Yes!
That are jelly-filled!
Because nothing beats a jelly-filled donut, especially when it's actually a rice cake. Mm. So, joining you as ever is myself, Jonathan. James.
How are you?
Not the one from Team Rocket, the other James. This one has an accent, so you know it's not him.
James!
Yes.
Yes.
We'll get to that shortly. And BertBot joining us again.
Hello!
So, because you're here. You're available.
Yeah, I'm available.
You're available, yeah.
Awake is the word.
Exactly. So, if you missed our pilot, sorry about that, but we can't really do anything about it. We are watching through all the old Pokemon episodes, giving them the critical modern eye that they deserve, and seeing if they hold up.
They do not.
They do not. They really
Spoiler
do not.
They do not hold up.
That is the theme of like the next 80 episodes. Us saying why. Why?
Like, why am I so stupid to watch this?
We all have like hidden agendas going in here. I want to prove that Ash Ketchum was always terrible. There was never a time where he was a good trainer. Like, you are there just to go like, yeah, I'm here to just smash my childhood memories into dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm here to remember my childhood memories and then hate them.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think, if anything, that's what being a person in your mid-20s is all about.
Yeah.
Is crushing your own dreams of a child.
Oh, fuck you, nostalgia.
Exactly. So, we're going to kick off then with the second episode of the series, which is called Pokemon Emergency.
Yeah.
And, it's basically about the wonderful tale of when Ash Ketchum nearly killed his Pikachu and it needed to go into intensive care to get healed.
I don't think they've ever been that dark again with any of the episodes since.
Well, we are covering the band episodes as part of this show, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there was that one time where Ash Ketchum had a gun pointed to his head. I can't wait for that
one. Yeah, but that was slapstick.
Yeah. It's America, you know. Yeah. It's a Clint Eastwood spoof, you know. Dirty Harry, that's, come on.
Yeah.
Because it's the one thing that we wanted was a Dirty Harry Pokemon combo, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, right?
That's like... It's part of the cliches that you go through with every TV show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
know, like,
you have the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
You have the We All Go to the Beach episode.
Yeah.
You have a Dirty Harry episode.
The mandatory swimsuit episode that everyone has. We have that as well. The one where James gets a pair of tits. Yeah. That was great fun. That was another cancelled there.
Was it cancelled or was it just heavily edited?
No, it was cancelled, I think, yeah. It aired in Japan, and then like all the American episodes going, right, the Japanese are just far too weird for this. We'll just leave it there. I think it was the Porygon episode that is officially like gone. It never happened because it actually did hurt a lot of children's eyes.
The Dirty Harry episode's gone. The Blackface Jinx is gone.
Yes. I think there's 6 or 7 cancelled ones in total. There's another one where there was like a typhoon or something, and it was around the same time as the really big one.
Oh, it was the Tentacruel episode.
Yes,
yeah.
That was
with
bad.
The Twin Towers.
Twin Towers, yeah. That's it. Yeah. But we are going to be covering that.
Overtly, you know, we are against capitalism.
Because if I'm thinking of a socialist Pokemon, it's definitely Tentacruel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bernie Sanders
of Pokemon, yeah. Anyway, we're going to kick off then with the opening credits, as we always do. We have a recap of the first episode, including Ash saying he's going to be the best trainer in the world. Pikachu denying that at every opportunity. And then Spearow attacking him, along with Pikachu saving the day with basically one massive fuck-off thunderstorm.
Spearow's in the right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think we can all agree on that. I mean, Spearow's attacking in the good spirit of Pokemon battling, and Ash just doesn't have a clue what he's doing, you know?
Yep.
Incompetency is more dangerous than evil, you know, in this case.
First example of a horde battle.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Although, that again, they didn't really invent that officially until about 20 years' time, but, you know.
Wow.
You can blame X and Y for that. But the episode starts proper then with a nice open panning view of Ridian City, and Tanoi announcing to be on the lookout for Pokemon thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out it was actually Officer Jenny making that announcement from her little kiosk, showing that there is even cutbacks in the police department in the Pokemon universe as well.
I don't think we've ever seen her driving a car. It's always just...
It's always the motorbike, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible, isn't it?
Ah, well.
I suppose you get quicker... I suppose if you don't really... Are cars more dangerous in the Pokemon universe?
Wait, like, as well as that, they're also employing the same person across a vast amount of cities in the universe.
No, there's just been two families. There's a family of, like, Officer Jenny's and Nurse Joy's, and just keep, like,
and
churning them out. Yeah, they're all cousins, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing how those genetics work out that way, isn't it? Yeah. Curious. So, as she makes this announcement, Ash runs by with a Pikachu in his arms. Mm-hmm. Obviously looking suspicious because the Pikachu is bruised up the fuck. He's
Absolutely.
Bruised up the fuck.
Absolutely. Just imagine you running past a Garda.
Yeah.
Carrying a broken dog.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. It's like, that looks That looks worthy for investigation.
Unless you've got a TD friend in Fine Gael who'll step in and save the day for your animal cruelty charges mysteriously getting dropped.
That is oddly specific, Bert. Well, are you
referring to some... the news.
Do you read the news? Ah, right, yeah. I want you to stop doing that because that really ages the podcast, you know?
Yeah, sounds.
So anyway, Jenny, as we said, stops him by the collar. Ash, obviously corrects her, saying, no, I'm not a Pokemon thief. I'm innocent.
I'm
just badly wounded my first Pokemon. You know, can you help me out here? I think its leg is broken, just dangling there by its fucking antenna. So Jenny goes, okay, right, you seem to be the... he's looking for the ID, first of all, which Ash goes, oh, what's that? So, you know, identification. Identification, your name and your date of birth. What's that? And the Pokedex goes, I'm the ID. For fuck's sake.
I miss sassy Pokedex.
Yeah, that's the one highlight.
So then you already miss it.
Yeah.
Well, I've watched ahead in our recap and I'm like, oh, sassy Pokedex is gone.
Yeah.
I think it makes like a few like little appearances, but it's almost a sass other characters instead, which is a bit of a shame because I think...
No, it's better when it sasses its own owner.
Because, absolutely, like,
you're so shit.
Because he deserves it.
Be better.
I mean, how could you have so much Pokemon memorabilia, watch nothing but Pokemon TV shows, and still not have a clue what you're doing?
Yeah.
Clearly we're dealing with someone who's dangerous.
Somebody's never understood rock, paper, scissors.
No. Or rock, water, grass in this case. Anyway, so... I'm actually not even impressed with myself with that one. I'm really annoyed. No.
We're just going to set...
We're gonna move on.
Let's just let that shit.
Indeed. So Jenny notes then, after talking to the Pokedex, because the Pokedex has had to intervene here at this point. Oh, you seem to be the fourth trainer from Palutena here. So all the three competent kids, the actual protagonists, are all there having their own adventure. I think we do see them later on in the Pokemon League. I think so. Yeah.
I thought that Gary was the only one that succeeded. Like, the other ones had all abandoned at some one point or the other.
I think the two characters, I think, they're called Jimmy and John, which is really generic, by the way. Hicktown, Palutena, that is. But apparently, like, they go...
Say to a James. And your name is John?
Yes. But I'm not a Pokemon trainer. I don't need a cool name.
Dug yourself into a hole there.
You fucking dug tree or yourself in a hole. So Jenny also finds it odd that Pikachu isn't in a Pokeball. And as we're kind of passing through, we see a wanted poster of two mysterious people in the background. Mm. With like nice little silhouetted shaded Instagram posts appearing into their next area. We obviously know it's going to be Jesse and James. We don't know that yet. It's all very exciting. Ash pleads his case. Jenny spots the Pokedex in his pocket, takes it, and then we clarify that's the ID. Everything is fine. He's definitely not a wrongin'. He's just stupid. We finally nipped that in the bud.
Is incompetence a crime?
No. Yes. Well, I mean, in some countries it is, you know.
Not
in Kanto. In Galar maybe. Just like, oh, you failed this, you're out. Just, you're eliminated. Back to the end of the queue. So, the garage door opens for our next scene, and it's Ash sitting in the sidecar. Nice little, like, travelling montage as we wheel away in a cloud of smoke. Turns out Misty was caught in all that time. She was still chasing us with the charred bike, which is probably why she was, like, you know, being weighed down.
Such a dick for that as well. Can I just point out?
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Like, we're all agreeing on that. Like,
he needed to get away.
Yeah, but not to the same extent.
Trying to... we'll move on.
Yeah, like, not to...
I'm very annoyed at this.
You can get away, no problem, but not cause criminal damage while you're doing it. You know, just throwing it out there. So we get another shot of the wanted poster, but it's being peeled off by a mysterious hot air balloon that's shaped like a Meowth's head. I wonder who that could be. What heinous criminals would fork out so much money to have a Meowth-shaped hot air balloon?
Meowth.
Like, they have so much resources available to them.
Right? Mm. I mean, it's a limited... Obviously, Team Rocket, these two guys are their tax sink. It's just like, we don't want to pay tax, just give them a whole lot of money, and so they can be incompetent in their own space.
It's like Wile E. Coyote. How does he get any money for all of the Acme attacks?
I never want to really question the economics behind...
Just always manages get shit.
I know, but you have to be impressed with the resourcefulness. All of his points are in that. It's in the execution of the plans is the problem. And it's kind of the case here
with Team Rocket.
Yeah. So we both get to, they both critique the photography of the wanted poster. They're all talking very fancy and mysterious and ooh. And everyone's just hamming up the voice acting, including the Meowth, who's can't tell if he's from New Jersey, Boston, Philadelphia, or all three.
At the same time.
It's like a pan, like Eastern American accent. It's brilliant. So Meowth then reminds us and the two characters that they're there to take any rare Pokemon they see. Mm-hmm. Because apparently talking Meowth isn't rare enough for Team Rocket.
Oh no, he's already with Team Rocket.
And we all agree, like, it is definitely a Meowth. It's not just like a midget in costume, like.
I don't think that was ever clarified, was it?
No, it doesn't. And
I know there is his backstory of how he learned to talk and stuff, but
which we do learn in a later episode.
Yeah, but like, is there that, you know, he could just make that.
That's
up.
A backstory. Yeah, that's like, you know, window dressing, really.
And also rare Pokemon like Pikachu, like they're one and. You know.
Well, you can get them in the Viridian Forest.
Yeah.
There are enough, though, out of all the bugs that you can, you know.
Yeah,
you're wading through.
You're wading through a good few bugs. You have, like, you can get in the forest, or you might just, like, wait a while to get in the power plant instead. Mm. You know. But who wants to go to the power plant on the opposite side of the country, you know?
Absolutely.
You know? So, we reach the Pokemon Center. Nice big stunt to jump from the police bike, and she paralyzed into the fire at the center. Mm. I get the feeling Nurse Joy has had this happen several times because she just doesn't bat an eyelid. In fact, the foyer is actually quite wide for the car to park up in, which I find impressive. She's obviously planned ahead for this.
I think it's more.
You need, like, for big Pokemon.
Yeah. Like,
there's a Snorlax coming in on a fucking.
If you're a 10-year-old and you're like, here's your sick Onix back again.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, right, well, let's take a look. Whoops. There goes your ceiling.
Well, there's your problem. The 16th rock is broken there, so we're going to have to do surgery. Lads, get the truck. Yeah, just back it up there. So
anyway, no, like, they've obviously, like...
Yeah, they've planned ahead for
this.
They've
planned ahead
for this. They know exactly.
Idiot-proof it.
Yeah.
Ash-proof it.
Ash-proofed. Love it. So, we get to Chansey then doing their job, which is great. And they run up with a stretcher. Chansey away there into the intensive care unit. And naturally, Nurse Joy chastises Ash for being terrible and being reckless with the Pikachu.
First person to do it.
She's a true mother figure here. Like, Delia's too busy just, like, you know, making herself look pretty for mysterious men in Palatown. Wonder who that could be.
Mr. Mime.
No! Stop!
We should just take bet at this stage who his dad really is, shouldn't we? Like, there's a few strong candidates, really.
Mr. Mime is a contender.
Mr. Mime is top fucking odds on, in my opinion.
Well, considering Ash's stupidity levels.
Yeah, rosy red cheeks as well, you know? And he's actually a very good mime, you just don't notice it yet, you know? Look at all the gesticulations he does as well. Like, he didn't lick off the stones, like, you know?
Yeah.
You have to get off somebody. So, Joy says to Ash to trust in the health system, in the free healthcare they have here in this wonderful, glorious state of Kanto, and Pikachu will be absolutely fine. You think it'd be as quick as that, but clearly Pikachu is far more in serious health than that, than just a quick little fix up in the Pokeball.
Yeah.
But I suppose because he's not going into Pokeball, that's why they have to do it the old fashioned way, maybe.
He is stubborn as hell.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
It's weird. So, Ash goes into the waiting room and the doors close on him. So, we get a, what I found funny was a cuckoo clock, but it's a shiny Pidgey instead. Mm. The Pidgey's, like, coloured green instead of, like, brown. Just like, yeah, that was a mistake, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
They fucked up.
Look, there's so many discolorations happening in this.
Yeah.
There's a fucking pink Butterfree
some point. That's not
shiny Butterfree, that's just...
that's a sick Butterfree.
That's just...
toner sort of running out in the coffee.
It's like a scanner line over the Butterfree.
Wait, we need to make it very clear that this is a girl. How do you do that? Pink.
Oh, there's like a deviant watermark on the side of it. So it's like, oh, fuck, lads, come on. It's basic stuff. So, there's no sign of Joy, no sign of Pikachu yet as the clock keeps spinning and spinning. So, the correct thing to do here is obviously to tell his mother that everything is fine. So, as we're going off the Skype, basically, the mother has her, like, face mask on and tell because, you know, why not? You know, she's a single mother. She knows what she's doing. She's obviously thrilled to see that Ash is already in Viridian City because apparently, fun fact, it took his dad 4 days to get there.
Do we know how long it took him to get, or is this just like a day?
Well, I presume it was like within like a couple of hours, considering the Spiro very much speeded up that whole process. Yeah. Like, and jumping in a waterfall would fucking do that too, in fairness.
Yeah,
fair enough.
It kind of puts into
so his dad is a bigger fuck up than him,
I guess, or maybe he's just a bit of a lazy, like
Mr. Mime got trapped in a glass box halfway through took him ages to get through it.
Yeah, he kept getting like just like knocked over by the wind, the strong wind just coming across. So Ash is obviously very downbeat because he's acknowledged, he's maybe actually acknowledging that he's bad at everything, but Mom gives him encouragement, makes sure, reminds him to say, to change his underwear every day, which is
good life advice.
It's good life advice for anybody, in fairness. And the phone call ends there. So Ash is still waiting around, and we spot a mural of some ancient drawings of four legendary Pokemon.
Yep.
Do you remember what they were?
Zapdos, Moltres, Articuno,
and
some bird.
It wasn't the bird. It was Arcanine.
The legendary Pokemon.
The legendary Pokemon Arcanine. Oh. I love as well, like, they obviously had like the idea.
Is there the one of Ho-Ho there as well?
Nope. Ash saw Articuno and thought that looks like a Ho-Ho.
Yes. He focused on the Articuno and thought it was the same. Because birds all look the same.
Yep.
As every incel would say. So he focuses on the top right. And as you mentioned, he notices it looks a lot like a mysterious bird he noticed after his hallucination.
Yep.
Then we get a phone call. And it was on the front desk. So Ash just like presses buttons, answers it. Because now he works in the hospital. He's been there so long. It's voice only. But it's Professor Oak. Fairness enough. And
she's been working in the hospital maybe about half as long as he's been a Pokemon trainer for, so
yeah, look, on balance,
this might be a better profession for him.
He's got a better skill set. He can press
like
one button.
Man in Scrubs, who like is such a bad doctor that they just let him look after the corpses.
What's the worst he can do? Bring someone back to life.
Yeah, that's Ash's job.
I like that. Yeah, as opposed to like mining a beedrill in the jar, I guess. But so. What I have here is, turns out it's Professor Oak doing what I call some miscellaneous science. Just like, obviously the animator was told, okay, just draw anything that looks scientific. So you've got flasks, you've got mysterious liquids, something boiling. They all have nothing to do with each other. They're just all science.
Yeah.
You know?
That's how science is.
That is how science is, yeah. You just boil shit just for the crack, like, you know?
As two scientists, we know that we just have random flasks boiling away constantly.
I definitely don't have any flasks of my own that I use for personal use. Absolutely not. I can categorically state that on the record.
Uh-huh.
What?
Okay.
All right, fine. So, I love as well that he's also getting dinner as well. So, he's got all his flasks and then
very,
a fucking sushi box. It's horrendous, like, it's just disgusting. No wonder he's not, like, in a proper job. He's, probably a disgraced, like, scientist.
So is this looking at, like, no wonder Ash started where he was, looking at, like, any kind of role model that he had?
Yeah, there's a role model. So, like, this is a shambolic, like, 60-year-old man going, oh, yes, no, I'm a scientist. Fixed it. And then, apparently, he got the wrong camera, so you see the back of his head first. And then
He's proper, like, old parents trying to use FaceTime and Skype. And it's like shouting into the
They
phone.
Called it 20 years ago.
Yeah, spot
well,
on
God,
as well.
Like Simpsons, like, who did it first? Pokemon.
Pokemon did it first, yeah. Definitely. And like I said, he was actually trying to, like, call Ash, but he actually got the Viridian Pokemon Center instead. And then Oak was also pleasantly surprised that Ash was there. Although Gary actually got there first.
He's like, it took me 4 days to get... I mean...
yeah, well, it was a long way away from...
My Mr. Mime took 4 days.
It's going to be a hell of a maternity
is
test.
It like some sort of gangbang with the Mr. Mime and Professor Oak.
Oh, no.
The fact that you got there before us.
Yeah, I know. This is bad.
Yeah. Don't go digging there. Yeah. So this is the funniest one, right? So Oak's pleasantly surprised that Ash made it there. Gary, on the other hand, made a bet with his granddad that Ash wouldn't get there. So the bet was that Ash wouldn't have a single new Pokemon and Oak wagered $1 million. Which is just a poor, like, lack of faith, really, isn't it? So, Ash, Oak was very much wrong.
Yeah.
And Oak was very much disenfranchised with that, shockingly.
How many chances Ash had to catch shit in the...
He had about 40 based on the flock of Spearow cat, like, chasing him. Like, all he had to do was...
Spearow, best band name.
Yeah. In fairness...
And Ash ran. Yeah.
He ran so far away.
To Viridian City.
You've been practicing that, haven't you?
No, this is off the cuff.
Sure. So, Ash knows the mysterious bird. Oak completely dismisses him because he's a fucking idiot. Obviously, he's never heard of legendary birds before, so it's a complete crazy notion.
Ash got struck by lightning.
True, but Johto's like next door, and it's like Ho-Oh is their legendary bird. Mm. It's their symbol. It's like one of their fucking religious figures. It doesn't exist yet, obviously. Terrible. So, pizza arrives at Oak's house. Can you guys remember what these three toppings of choice were? Because I haven't written down here. Because I'm going to judge Professor Oak based off these toppings.
Tauros?
Tauros is not one of them. Actual proper toppings, not based off Pokemon. Although one of them, you might argue. First one we got is anchovies.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Second we've got is spinach.
Ew.
Right. And third one, perhaps most controversial, pineapple.
Okay.
Yeah. Oak is one of those guys. Pineapple on pizza.
No, I'm not happy with that, but I'm also not a big
pizza. Again, you could have just placed like a spinach rectangle.
True. Anchovies for wishy-washy, I guess. Or Remoraid.
Doesn't exist yet.
No. I mean, yeah. The Magikarp would be too big as well. That would be a full course meal. Like
Goldeen?
Yeah. Which we'll see very, very soon, indeed. So, we just hear the phrase, "Now I've got you," from like some sort of female voice screams to end part one. And we go to an ad break.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's an ad break, it is time for us to do our rendition of
Who's That Pokemon?
Impeccable timing, lads. So, the way this works is every one of us, every episode, will pick a Pokemon for the other two to guess at, and we'll keep score of it over the season. So, James, you're currently leading 5-0-0 because you got Poliwhirl first up, and that wasn't meant to happen, but never mind. Hopefully, I was able to talk all the way through that. It would be great. So, because obviously you won, James, it is now your turn to get us to guess.
Okay. So, I guess it's whenever either of yous are happy to decide who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like fingers and buzzers, I guess.
Yeah.
So, first off, its description is the poison moth Pokemon.
B. Venomoth.
There you go.
Yay!
Jesus, well, that was fast.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I did it!
That's full marks, in fairness.
Full marks.
That's five points, yeah. I'm actually kind of annoyed. I'm kind of annoyed because Venomoth was wanting to be my guess in a couple of weeks' time, so now I'm going to have to change that.
Oh, well.
Cheers, lads. Thanks. Appreciate it. So there you have it. we actually have a tie for first place now, 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I might get a chance to actually get on the scoreboard next week, we'll see, to leave even all things up again. So second half starts off then with an out of breath Misty carrying her chart break over her head, which will do it, you know, but at least she's working on her core, she's working on her upper body strength, which is good, you know. This is the guy's thing. Ash had absolutely no clue what happened to her bike. He's completely oblivious to it.
Yeah, he just abandoned it in the middle of a forest.
And it was...
In fairness, he was hit by lightning and blown away.
Yes, concussions do that
probably
to people.
Probably woke up and just stumbled.
That's going to make him worse.
Mm. Or maybe enough to send him to him. You never know. Like, it's hard to say. So they both argue over it. Missy keeps arguing so much that she falls over.
Yep.
Which I think is a really sign of an angry woman, isn't it? Have you ever been in an argument with someone who's so angry they just fall over?
No,
I fall over when I'm sleepy.
That doesn't count.
I might be angry because I'm so tired.
Right, it's still coming from a source of tiredness though, as opposed to angry.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think I've ever been, like, that's like pure tantrum.
Yeah, it's a tantrum thing, yeah. So yeah, Missy's still
in
mad.
Fairness, she was wronged.
She was wronged, yeah, and we can all agree on that. So Missy's still furious, Ash is trying to help her up, trying to like calm her down, it's not happening.
You should have just told her to smile more.
Yeah, in fairness, it's good life advice, lads. It's good life advice. Ash obviously still preoccupied trying to reason how to help out over the bike. Can't stop thinking about Pikachu. He's got no money. You know, he's going to run away anyway, so it's all the one. But all the while, the door's open and Pikachu emerges with a headband with a light bulb on its head. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not sure what medical condition he had that would warrant a light bulb on the head, but it obviously seems to be working.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just low on electricity and he's just charging up. Like, it was like a little, like, kind of LED sign.
Yeah, an indicator of when he's fully charged.
Yeah, he keeps going, oh, he's turning left. Okay, that's a bad sign.
50%, he's been plugged in for like half an hour.
Fucking free radicals. So, everything went well with the operation, and now Pikachu just needs to recover. Anyone want to hazard a guess what the operation was? I'm guessing it's a lobotomy.
I was thinking some sort of like enema, but with electricity.
Like an electnema.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a Pokemon, actually, doesn't it?
I'm more just thinking it is plugging Pikachu in again.
Just switching him off and back on again.
There's the operation.
So he stopped his heart, rebooted him, got his OS back up and running, and he's bam, dead on.
Hold on. completed a circuit with Pikachu's tail, so you could actually just play real life Monopoly. Or sorry, real life Operation.
That's actually, I quite like the idea. Where am I? Yes. So Jenny announces that there's a suspicious aircraft that is assigned in the area as alert sounds all over the hospital start sounding.
Like the slowest moving aircraft and also the easiest to destroy if you're...
Easiest to notice as well.
But it's just literally like, just shoot something at it.
Yeah.
Grand.
Problem solved, yeah.
You have animals that literally throw rocks as like just something they can
rock
do.
Throw.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you're in the right area, your trainer can do that as well. If he's given
couple
permission.
Couple of Spiro fly right through it.
Yeah. Couple of fried
you
Spiro.
You already know there's flocks in there, right?
Yeah.
Not anymore, there isn't. They're all fucking wiped out. It's all in one go.
Jack-grilled Spiro.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice actually, yeah. Yeah. So Meowth repeats his top cat line. He said exactly the same time twice, but at least the duo are also annoyed by it and just go, "Yes, we know, fuck's sake." So they drop Pokeballs through the skylight and they contain Koffing and Ekans.
Yep.
Which we'll get to later on. So Koffing floods the area with smoke, you know, smoke bomb, good old traditional SWAT maneuver.
Yep.
The duo introduce themselves as Jesse and James from Team Rocket, completely lose their like surprise advantage, which is annoying in of itself, but they have to do the intro. They are legally, contractually bound to do the rhyme at the start.
Which they get wrong every time.
They do always get wrong, don't they? Yeah.
Because that's the Busty and Catch... Cassidy and Butch.
Yes.
Have the
right rhyme. Right, yeah. And just were they refuse. They're also wearing the wrong overalls as well, just to be clear.
I think that means they're trainees.
Yeah. Oh, maybe, yeah. They're maybe like... It's like the cadet's uniform in Star Trek. Yeah, maybe. Maybe they've been there for like years.
You
just
get
like,
the full black suit and, you know...
The berets.
When you don't fuck up.
Yeah, you get the gloves, the beret, the white boots and everything.
And the Rattata and the... What's the other thing that they use?
Zubats. Yeah. And of course, in the original games, whips.
Yes.
They had whips as well, which is, banned. You're only allowed like 4 whips per Pokemon battle. It's like horse racing. What's happening?
Crack that whip.
Oh, right, sorry. Carry on.
Team Rocket's whip.
So, much like Ash, I'm completely confused. But Team Rocket are not interested, shockingly, they're not interested in Pikachu. Just rare Pokemon. That's what they're here for.
Yeah.
The one place they went to for rare Pokemon was the first town after the start, which is Viridian City.
In fairness, that's just for Ash's first time.
Yeah, in fairness, yeah. That's a good point.
It's also Giovanni's time.
It is, well, we don't know that yet.
Spoilers!
We don't know. We don't even know there's a gym in Viridian City yet. True. You know, just a mysterious large building that no one noticed it before. So,
Ash is distracted.
Yeah, Ash
got a dead rat in his arms.
Ash was arrested. That's what happened there, yes.
He is a mouse. Mouse rat.
So, Joy claims there's not anything here, but Team Rocket completely disagree. So, Koffing smokes the area. Ekans chews through wires. Don't know why, because you know snakes need something to do, I guess. Uh-huh. So they escape into a room full of Pokeballs, which is where this is the Pokeball storage that apparently every center has. I haven't seen this in the games myself because I suppose it would be cheating to just kind of go in and go, okay, I'll take that, and that, please, thank you. So the power's been cut thanks to Ekans like acting the bollocks. Koffing's trying to like crash in through the door. So the Pokemon Center has a backup generator, mm-hmm. and the backup generator is 10 Pikachu running in a circle. Which is just beautiful. It's a beautiful sight. Oh. And just in there, just like, just running in the 90s, just fucking brilliant.
Reusing animations.
Oh yeah, the ones hopping over the fucking screen. Yeah, they used their animation like 20 episodes later.
Yeah.
When you had another flock of Pikachu and they used the exact same scene. Because like, this is on the opposite, this is in a forest. Where is the fucking like indoor interior fucking wall coming from? Brilliant.
This was a shoestring budget.
They were lazy, James. Yeah. I beg to differ. So, they're all amazed at the 10 Pikachu, like, in perfect synergy. But it turns out they have an emergency Pokemon transport system. You know, definitely not like Pokemon Home or anything like that. It's completely different. They initiate it. It's being sent to Pewter City because they can do that. You can just transfer the whole thing. It's all off USB. It's really handy, actually.
Yeah.
You know,
the purple cables.
Purple cables, yeah, exactly. You know, because, Jesus, to try and, like, go through Bluetooth would be fucking mayhem. Yeah. So, essentially all the psychic Pokemon around just wreck shit, like. So, the smoke's leaking through the door, Koffing's crashing into the shelves, just wrecking everything. So, Pissy tells Ash to throw one Pokeball, just anything, just throw one.
Yep.
And it's a Pidgey. Bad start, you know.
Pidgey, who's also, like, you know, wrecked.
Yeah, an exhausted Peggy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Baldi's immediately after surgery.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I've broken my leg. I'm not ready to fight.
And use mega kick. Fuck you.
Like, I don't see at this point, like, is Misty purely like, you try figure this out, you dumbass.
Yeah.
She is, as we will find,
we'll find out, yes.
Is a certified trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. But, like, she obviously knows what to do in this situation, yet she doesn't use any of her book. Well, I suppose
so we do find out later on. So, Ekans intimidates a bird, flies away. Next Pokemon is empty. Third ball is a Rattata. And Ekans just scares it into submission, I guess. So, Misty intervenes then at this point and tells him to get Pikachu to safety. So there's a bit of banter back and forth about what to do and all that. So Ash is told to Scarper with the Pikachu and all this stuff. So Misty's strategy is to release a Goldeen. And that just flaps on the floor because there's no water.
Yep.
So everyone's kind of like, there's like a second pause where everyone's like, why did you do that? I thought you were good at this stuff. I was like, no, apparently it was all part of her cunning plan because she was stalling. She was stalling for Ash to get away with the Pikachu. So she's there in the trolley, and then
she has a Staryu.
I know. Well, you don't want to give off your best stuff all the time, like, you know. She's still scouting for trainers here at this stage, you know. That's why she's latched on to Ash, because she's hoping she'll catch on to the actual trainers.
No, around. He owes her a bike.
Oh, good point, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking far more complicated than it actually was. So Koffing and Ekans have given chase to Ash. Ash has crashed the trolley, and curious enough, the light bulb dings on Pikachu's head.
Yeah,
and what
can we? Yeah. Ding.
He's microwavable. Love it. And it starts raining Pikachu. Pikachu just is like one big fucking pile, cuddle puddle of Pikachu.
Yep.
And they all start just like, just static emerges, and one massive bolt of lightning zaps the entire lot. The Pokemon Center is destroyed. Ash's Pikachu emerges from the top, as we know from the headband. And Meowth now tries to intervene. He attacks. Ash is trying to interpret what Pikachu is saying. And
Pika apparent, power.
Pika power is what he said, because that's a political slogan, if anything. So Ash goes onto Misty's bike, upside down, and just pedals on it. And the headlight pops on again, Pikachu hops on it, and zaps the fucking Team Rocket. He uses the little light on the bike.
This is the second time that Pikachu's gotten supercharged.
Pretty much,
Bolt of Lightning, and second from basically a Dynamo.
Yeah, a Dynamo, yeah. And keeps zapping Rocket again, but he's gone completely out of control, can't control his power, and the Pokemon Center is in smithereens.
Yep.
But so are Team Rocket. There's a shot of the Meowth balloon flying by the moon as the Rocket Gang are changing tack and goes, oh, that Pikachu was really, really strong. Let's get that again. And then we get their backstory for the next 25 years.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great to lock that stuff in nice and early, you know. But in classic terms, the balloon gets a puncture and they sail off into the night.
Blasting off for the first time.
Indeed. Yeah. And not for the last time either. Yep. But this is where we intervene, lads, because it's time for our new segment.
Right.
So, whenever Team Rocket fail in their quest to capture a rare Pokemon or Pikachu,
which is
every time, we're going to intervene with better ideas in a segment we're calling What Should Rocket Do? So, I'm going to give the scenario of what happened in the episode, and we're going to just jump in and say, here's how they should have done it, okay? So, the scenario is, Team Rocket are out to look for rare Pokemon in the Viridian Pokemon Center. Ash's Pikachu is in recovery, while Ash and Misty are both in the center arguing over a charred bike. What should Rocket do?
I would say use coughing to keep smoke bombs down.
Okay, so they were right with the first start. First set, yeah, okay.
Take the chances. Those are the rarest things that we've seen in the Pokemon Center at all.
Yeah?
Keep one, hold the other one, ransom for the other one, for all the rare Pokemon to get delivered.
Excellent. Yeah. One caveat I was going to say was that there can't be any like violence, basically. No, like, nothing criminal. But I think we'll hold...
They are criminals.
They are criminals. But I'm saying, like, no, like, violent means. Like, they're just, like, no pistol whipping a fucking Pikachu, no. You know?
And in this case...
No torture allowed either. You know, that sort of stuff. In this
case, they managed to get away with possibly one chancing, maybe two.
Yeah.
And whatever else they managed to get from the centre.
Yeah, and a nice tactical retreat then after that.
Yeah.
Very good. Bertba, what have you got?
Jesse and James run in with an injured Meowth.
Ooh, love it.
Okay. He's not in a Pokeball, so he has to be brought into the Operation Theatre.
Yeah.
What's in there? Scratchy, scratch, scratch. Robbie, rob, rob. Out you go.
Excellent. I like that. The Trojan Meowth system. I like that. My one's actually, my one, I'm quite like my one as well. You guys have seen Samurai Cop, right? So this, I'm nicking that scene from Samurai Cop. So you've got the two guys go into the hospital, right? Both dressed up as doctors. Well, actually, I'd have Jesse dress up as a nurse.
No, it should be the other way around. James dress up as a nurse.
Well, that's true, actually, yeah. But I'd have James hide in the laundry basket like the guy from Samurai Cop. He just pops out, just like rises up slowly, takes a Pikachu, takes everything into the trolley, and out just go. Into the parking lot. So, which idea do we like better?
Clearly, I like mine.
But we're kind of doing this like a few other segments we do. So you can't pick your own. We have to communally agree on what was the best idea. I mean,
I like the Trojan Knight.
I like the smoke bomb, James.
Yeah, I think we'll go with the Chansey. I think the Chansey system is a smart move because, like I said, you can guarantee at least you can guarantee getting one Chansey.
I cannot Samurai Cop win at anything, so sorry.
That's fair enough, yeah. No, I can agree on that. I can completely sympathise. The Chansey Gambit should have been what Rocket did. And it would have made a pretty penny as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the next morning then, in the rubble of a destroyed centre, Nurse Joy is talking to Nurse Joy. Sitting
off
at a desk.
Working computer.
Off a working computer, yeah. Well, they have enough electricity, in fairness. It's just all they need is a plug. Or just a Pikachu with like a fucking open wound, I guess. So the city desk surrounded by debris, Jenny overlooking things, confirming, yeah, this is all fine. We can all get this fixed tomorrow. Everything was transported to Pewter City. Joy and Jenny tell us that Ash, Misty and Pikachu are heading to Pewter City if they can survive the Viridian Forest. I don't know of anyone who hasn't survived the Viridian Forest, but fair enough. There is a lot of trainers in the forest, in fairness. Maybe that's as far as they can go. So we do see a shot of them walking through the forest, and Misty is immediately spooked, because as you find out, she's scared of bugs.
Yep.
Which is a fantastic trait for a water trainer to have, in my opinion. So she spots a Caterpie, so she sketches immediately, but Ash senses opportunity. He sees it. He likes the look of this Caterpie for some reason. There's something about the way it's looking in it from its two massive eyes. This is the one for me. So takes lead, lines it up, and throws a Pokeball and a freeze frame to end the episode.
I missed those freeze frames. They should have kept those.
Yeah, same. They were so climatic, and then they realised, we have to start stalling now. Shit.
It's like it gave a reason to watch the next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what happens. We will not find out until the next episode if Ash actually catches the Pokemon successfully for a change, rather than irritating everyone he finds. So, did we enjoy the episode, lads? I love asking the question because it's like you know the answer is no, but this is where we are.
It was funny how much I remembered and how much I'd forgotten about it, like kind of looking back. It's like, oh, I know this episode. It's the episode where they come in the balloon, and this is where, and I was like, I had actually forgotten about the 10 Pikachu thingy running around.
Yeah, it was like, something
this thing, and then the jumping over. I was like, oh, this animation, I do remember this, because they've used it again.
They've used it several times,
but yeah, no, enjoyment factor comes from, I suppose, the hatred of looking back at something that I considered so good back then. Like, I absolutely loved coming home and making sure I was home in time to watch this.
Yeah.
And I'm looking like, why? Why was I that stupid?
Not for our poor teachers who had had to put up with this phrase suddenly.
Oh, yeah, just suddenly just hits them like a fucking brick.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll end this episode like we do by checking in with Ash's Pokedex that we're keeping track for him on his behalf.
Yep.
And obviously he can catch anything this round, but he did see 5 new Pokemon.
Yep.
So the first one he sees is the Meowth. So we'll kind of do what we've done with the first episode. We'll kind of give away some kind of fun facts about the Pokemon themselves. Some of these may not come as a surprise, but Meowth is based off a cat. You might have noticed that, for the claws, the thing, yeah. But the fun fact is, it's actually based off Japanese mythology, mostly, because you might be wondering why. Yes, the Master Neko, yes.
Yeah.
I've something to do with, basically, it's a good luck charm, essentially, which is why.
Which arm is.
Is up or down, yeah. And that's why he also has, like, a coin on his head, because, basically, it's the base. I think it's from Good Fortune, I think, mostly. I think it's a lot of like restaurants have it for charms and stuff like that to keep good customs, that sort of thing. Fun fact, though, by the way, in the sequel to Red and Blue, Gold and Silver, it was actually supposed to get a baby form, Meowth, but it was rejected.
Yeah.
And the little sprite has, like, it's like a, just a little kitten, and it has, like, three coins, like, floating around its head.
Oh, kind of, I think I've seen this before. Yeah.
I would have shown that to you.
It does look quite cute, but it's also completely pointless.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, yeah, apparently in terms of its colour and all that sort of stuff, apparently Meowth's meant to be a Siamese cat. So...
Fun fact. I can
kind of
see that.
Yeah. Essentially, that is it. Next one on our list is coughing.
Coughing!
So, my favourite thing about coughing was that in the original games, they designed it wrong.
Yep, the skull was upside down.
The skull was upside down. So, they had seen what coughing was supposed to look like, and they had like the face and the skull icon there, but it was the other way around. So, they basically got the coughing upside down all the way through the first games. And then when they released Pokemon Yellow, then they flipped it. They fixed the whole problem. Another fun fact, though, Coughing's original name in the Red and Blue beta was Ny, N-Y.
Yep.
Because that it's absolutely a reference. And James, do you know what that was a reference to?
That was New York for the smog and the
air pollution,
bad air quality.
Yeah, exactly. So Coughing was supposed to be known as N-Y, and Wheezing was known as L-A. For Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun fact. Basically, its design is supposed to be like a naval mine or a meteorite. No one can really kind of tell. It's obviously the name is based off the word coughing. I don't think that's a shock to anyone, really. It's essentially just a big gas bag, essentially.
Yeah.
Ekans is our next one. And
snake backwards.
Yes. Yes, that is absolutely correct. And that is the only thing I know about Ekans. And that's the only thing that needs to be known about Ekans.
Yeah, it is. Don't think there's anything else to say about it.
No. Its Japanese name, though, is an anagram of boa in Japanese. So they've kind of done the same thing in Japanese and English.
Same with, like...
I think they did the same in seal as well.
Arbok.
Yeah, Arbok, yeah. Coke. Exactly. And various other Pokemon. They weren't very creative.
I remember thinking I was the smartest thing in the schoolyard when I figured that out.
2 years after everyone else.
Yeah. Like, it's definitely a thing before. But I was the first person in my friend group to figure out. And it was because I read it somewhere. Because like, whoa, it's snake backwards. So cool.
Yeah.
I'm so smart.
SMRT. So that we also have seen Goldeen for the first time.
Goldeen.
Again, it's a goldfish. Again, shouldn't really be a shock. There's a bit of like... they reckon they think it's like the horn is an avatar for, it's based off Matsya, which is an avatar for Vishnu, which is why they have the goldfish with the horn. And with Sea King, it's the same thing, yeah. Because he's sometimes depicted as a fish with a horn. So that's why they kind of went with that. It's a bit tangential, in fairness.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite something there that anyone would notice. I think it's just part of the design to make it look cool.
Yeah.
Because I think most like things in Generation 1 had horns.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It was make it bigger, give it angry eyes and extra horns.
Yeah, exactly. Or in like Jinx's case, lips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact though about Goldeen and Sea King, they're the only Pokemon that can learn Waterfall efficiently. Yeah.
There you go.
And no one else can learn Waterfall naturally. And
just from those games or is that in...
Everything else.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. No one else learns Waterfall. You have to teach it everyone else.
There you go.
Yeah, how about that? Not even Magikarp can learn Waterfall, even though its all mythology is based on climbing a waterfall. Weird, eh?
There you go.
So, we'll finish then with Caterpie, because we saw that right at the end of the show.
It's based on a real caterpillar.
It is based off a real caterpillar, yes. More specifically, an Asian swallowtail, according to my source here. But we've obviously don't get much swallowtails here in the beautiful country of Ireland. So, we'll just take this this website's word for it.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures of them online, and I've seen like Planet Earth. I didn't know the name of the. I think it's a moth that it actually evolves into, rather than a butterfly.
Correctly, yeah, it does turn into a moth.
So
that's why people were kind of thinking, like at the time, I think it ends up going to like a hawk moth. But that's why the kind of the horn and the tail.
Yeah.
People were thinking that's what it was supposed to be, but I think a lot of like evolutions kind of like got like juggled up at the time. So yeah, I think Caterpie was reckoned to be like it could have been like Caterpie Methamoth Venomoth or something like that.
And Venonat Butterfree.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of people think that All right.
Oh, that makes all the sense.
Yeah, it does. So. Unfortunately, it doesn't to the great entomologist of first Pokemon show. Yeah. But here we are. Yeah. So, current score then on the Pokedex is 10 seen and 1 caught. But that will all change in the next episode.
Or spoilers. Will it?
Yes, it will, because the next episode is called Ash Catches a Pokemon.
Oh.
So I have no idea what the episode is about. It's a complete mystery to all of us.
Yeah.
We'll just have to tune in next week to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So that's it then. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Jelly Filled Donut Podcast.
Yep.
We'll see you then.